话的。我就不这么看着两下，你是说啥？说。咱们三个人。嗯。
But I'm going to be allowing for some questions before the second presentation. And I'm asking that may I be given the first chance.
Who's wearing your dress?
Ben, who? Did you take it from the wash line? Please don't have a butt. Honorable members, my first question will be, when we talk of predators, this 80% of the CGE budget goes for predators. And if we then analyze the PMF A. We working within the prescribed principle who we are actually about. Other area is there are deficits and there's money that is stepped away. When I say stepped away, investment stuff. I need clarity around that. And there was another interesting utterance, maybe for me because I'm not a financial fanatic. Financial gain re-tendance. Can that be unpacked? Because the next question that crosses my mind is for what? The mention of Westpac. Here is Candy from Pomeroy. Of what benefit is that to me? And that I actually need all the information. But websites can't be there. There's no information. the para. I heard that you caught vehicle the last time. You're still thinking of replacing some vehicle, but now you've already got them. What type of vehicle and what has happened to the owner? Was there an option to ensure that you get some cash which could actually help you to then put in as deposit for the new car? And for whom are they? There's been lots of certain items and people's cars. My belief is definitely you have an insurance in such a big company. So the insurance has to pay. You can't take from the budget. If I'm wrong, I'm factored. My last question will be, there's been again a mention of MOU. The last time you appeared in front of us where there was justice, I posed a question and I never got an answer from any of the chapter 9 people who were in front of us. With whom is this MOU? What is the lifespan of the MOU? Thank you.
Right, my questions will be quite quick. I notice that travel and accommodation is above average by 12%. I think we need that to be explained when we've got to go into a belt tightening exercise as well. Make sure that what is happening is really valid. And then it was said that there had been a delay in the transfer from the ministry to the CGE. I'd just like to know what the reason for the delay is. Is it the ministry or is it Treasury? And how can we solve that problem? And the third one is quickly, it is on page 19. It said cash flow, purchase of property. I'd just like to know what purchase property was purchased and why we're buying property. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to answer a couple of questions. First of all, I would like to find out about the procurement. When you go to hotels and you require whatever people that you require in the community, your policy, are you concentrating on giving business to women? Just want to know how many women have been empowered to appear in the procurement. And also the issue of ICT, I just wanted to find out, you know, how long are we going to be spending money on ICT, because now each and every quarter there's money allocated on the website and all types of technology that they're using. And also the computers that you had, the previous computers, what happened to them? Were they donated to schools? I just need clarity on that. And regarding the media, it looks like you're not using media efficiently. You've used only 61% of radio slots.
and you're not using any television, as the chairperson was talking about, you know, people who don't have access to websites. How are you reaching those people? Is there a way that maybe we can use the media, you know, maybe have ads on TV? Can we actually allocate some money towards media? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is, since they are using plus minus 80% of their budget towards salaries, do they see themselves managing with the 20% to fulfill all their plans? Because when I look into their specific objective number one and number two and number two, and number two, when it comes to education, there are about 525 files that are still pending from 2013 to 2014. Would it be possible that with the amount of money they have, they will be able to finish their work? Also, how many of these files are still pending and why are they still pending? Secondly, I see overlapping of work from previous years. How possible is this going to be for them to still utilize this budget effectively? Because if they've got work from over from the previous year, that previous year money was budgeted the previous year, I would presume. So would it be possible for them to still do previous year and this year's work within this limited budget that they have? Especially that the minister has spoken during his medium term budget that there has to be reduction in quite a lot of things that are being done so that he can be able to save the 10 billion that he's been.
Thanks, Chef. I think some of my questions have been answered. Just one or two. The first one, Chef, I think is with regard to the cost containment and the CGEs. I think the last thing was agreed that the issue should cut the delegation. But I think we are not specific in terms, you know, we have given them that saying to say they must refuse the delegation coming to Parliament because mostly they are paying for the flight, they are paying for accommodation and so on. But I think we have to, as a committee, we have to maybe just to say how many delegates do we want. Because we've got the chairperson, the board, and the officials, the CFOs and the commissioners. I think we have to be specific because when they enter in, you know, it's a very big delegation from the commission. So I think we have to be clear to say how many do we want. So we can be able to cut some of the costs in terms of traveling and accommodation. And second issue, you know, the house chairperson normally say that in this institution we've got the teleconferencing services within some other buildings, committee rooms. So what they're saying is that as a committee, maybe unlike calling whatever department or whatever entity to come to Parliament, you've got few things that you want to discuss with them. I think it is good that we use those services because it's within Parliament and it's a good way of reducing the expenditure either of the department or the portfolio committee. So I think we have to utilize those services within within Parliament. And the other issue, I think Honourable Robinson, you have touched me on, you have asked this question with regard to the transfer of money from the department. I don't know whether they've been affected by the transition from the department. What are the reasons why they've not dispersed money on time? Because it's surely the ring says it's yours, it's the city, it's money. So why was it given? Have you given any reasons for not transferring the money on time? And the other issue, in your quarter two, the high cost driver is your lease provision. you are saying that you have spent 1.5 million. I just want to check the reasons behind that. Are people taking leave from July? Have taken leave from July to September, most of the leave period. This happens around those months only. And yes, I acknowledge that your electronic system has been upgraded, but you know, how are you going to avoid something that you spend a lot of money in a quarter, in one quarter, that high amount of money? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I think most of the questions have been asked. But also just to raise my concern, I think in the last time we met with the CGE, I did also express my concern about the travel and accommodation. I think it's quite a lot of money spent on it, and I think one, you know, when you're such a small entity and you've got so little money to fight the, you know, women's issues and issues of gender equality, I think one must be really sure that they're getting value for money in terms of what we spend our money on. And I think, you know, often if you can engage with service providers and get special deals, and I think you did in your last meeting say that it's something that you want to look at. So just to reiterate that point. You talk in one of the slides, slide 26, about the protracted litigation. It's the TGE versus GASA. And GASA, if I remember correctly, was accused of corruption in 2009. Now, that's quite a long time for this case to be dragging on, and I just wanted to know what is the problem, because I assume that it's also incurring costs, because it's still an open case, so you've got people working on it. So I just wanted to know what is the problem, why is this case dragging on for so long. On slide 20, you talk about the gender summit, and again, I saw that you did get people helping you with the sponsorship, but you did spend $1 million on that gender summit, and again, I think one must ask the question, How do we make sure that gender summit actually had an impact on the ground? I mean, if we get value for money, you know, did it actually translate into any real change? If you can just give me an insight. And then also, slide 12, you talk about one of your highest cost drivers is the professional services. Actually, your biggest expense after your wage bill. If you can maybe just unpack that for me. What exactly is it spent on? And then just a tongue in cheek, you said your CEO or your board chairperson is in India. I just wanted to know if we're paying for that. Thank you.
okhombisa ukuthi ngempela ngempela uyinakekele iy'nkinga zabantu. Okwami nje ngilabo le nto ethinta imali. Umbuzo wami suke sebenze njani mangabe izimali sezingasasebenzi bese zithathwa seyisoba enye indawo noma komunye umsebenzi. Kodwa zibe zinkulu izinkinga emphakathini. Le nto iyaxaka ngoba kanti isuke ikhona imali okufanele isetshenziswe ukuze umphakathi usizakale ezinkingeni obhekene nazo. Okwesibili umbuzo futhi, nale nto yokungaqashwa kwabantu yini inkinga? Ngoba ikhona imali, kufanele abantu bayaqashwa phela ukuze babhekelane ney'nkinga. Lento niyayibona ukuthi yenza ukububha kakhulu emphakathini, nanokuthi iy'nkinga zomphakathi zigcine zingakwazi ukusesizakalayo, zigcine sezilenga. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sometimes we find that the money is allocated for a particular reason and it's used for something else. This creates a lot of problems. I believe the money is provided to help the communities for development. And secondly, people are never employed. Why? Because it appears as if there is money available, and this is what aggravates poverty within the communities. And problems endured by these communities are left hanging. Thank you.
Thank you.
you, Jim. I was just.
Question is that gender-based violence, domestic violence and abuse statistics in line with the national police said, if yes, why does it look like only your numbers are so low while there is an increase of cases that are being reported to the police? And they say that every 6 minutes a woman or a child is killed or abused in this country. Can you elaborate on that?
Mine was just a follow up to Honourable Fanamaga about the gender summit. I would like to know more about this, and as I asked the ministry as well, when these big events are held, could we just be informed about them so that we know what's happening where and when, and if it's possible for us to be present as well? I think it would be helpful that we interact too. So it's just a quick email to let us know what is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The ball is on the clock of the
CPD. Thank you, Chair. I will answer those questions that are within our purview, and then I'll ask it to the two colleagues and my colleagues to take those as necessary. And I will start with the last one, the gender summit. I'll combine all the questions about the gender summit. The last gender summit. If you look at the legislation of the CGE, part of the legislation is to ensure that they liaise with stakeholders. And the last one was held in, I think, 2004 or 2005. So the feeling was that 20 years into democracy, it's important to bring all stakeholders together and just reflect on where have we gone, what are our achievements, which are great, and what are the challenges that still face the gender sector. The report is ready, and it will be definitely circulated to members. There was a program of action that specifies what functions. Some of them are in the civil society, others are with the ministry, and the one or two related to oversight matters in Parliament. And so that will be. All political parties were invited through leadership of political parties, and an invitation was also extended to the portfolio committee. That's what we made sure that happened. Who is paying for the chairperson? Yes, ma'am.
Which chair is that?
I'm saying it was sent to the portfolio committee here, the invitation. It was last year. It was last year. That's April last year. Through the office of the chairperson, that I'm sure of, because we wanted to make sure that we did have three political parties invited that came. The others didn't come. But
okay.
We had a good
Were you office. Aware that this was not a good time for that summit because of the election? I'm leaving it in your court.
Thank you. The chairperson, yes, indeed, has gone to India and was paying for the trip. We felt that it's all the men of the world coming together to talk about how they can change the world. And in terms of the men now coming to the center to deal with issues of violence and to form networks to ensure that there's impact. And the plenary discussed the matter, and the feeling was that he should go to that event, and he will bring back a report for all of us. Cost containment, the delegation is still big. We note that men will then await the further instructions. We tried to cut down on the delegation. Just to say that in this delegation, it's just four of us who come from outside. These two are in here in my stepkids, so that we didn't incur any cost for those two. We as plenary thought that even though the chair, the office of the chair should lead the delegation, we should always ensure that there's another member of the commission who is in the delegation. Otherwise, other people never interact with leadership. We thought it was a fair and a democratic thing to do, even though we don't have money. But we felt we should really do that. But if the feeling is that we must still cut down, we will do that, regrettably so, because we think it's the right thing to do. We really are pleading that we just have one other member of the commission coming. We rotate them. The last time it was somebody else, and next time we come, it will be somebody else. For instance, we've already had a delegation that's coming for the CEDO and the presentation, and we now know who will be coming next. And everyone does want to have that opportunity to interact with leadership here. Cost containment. I would like honorable members to know that really and truly our budget is very small. If we were to compare with other chapter 9 institutions, it is such a shoestring, an unfair budget to have, to do the work that we have. We appeal for understanding that we try our best. Most of our meetings are telecon meetings, and they deal with substantive issues. We hardly ever come together. We come once a quarter together, or when there's a critical financial matter that we have to deal with. But we have telecons all the time to try. On travel and expenditure, it's really travel to do workshops, and travel to communities, and travel to do research. So I was just saying to my colleagues there that the problem is that the template we get from Treasury, you can't change that template to really explain the work we do. Because that line item on staff, it's not about staff. It's about people who actually go to community, our education officers, our research officers, and our legal people. So if you take them out and you talk about people in the office, you'll find that this is very small. Unfortunately, it's the way the template we have to report, that we report like that. That's why we have a slide that then says service delivery. Then you'll see that in that slide, I don't know what slide number one, why we try to explain that in terms of staff, service delivery leg of our staff is actually bigger than this. On the website, that's another part I thought I should deal with. On the website, we try to balance. With the high travel, what's reaching to a community. With the website, we're reaching the youth who now communicate in that way. The majority of young people will not go to our meeting. They will not come when we invite them, but we will reach them through our website. We will reach them through our electronic media. And we put all our researchers, we put most of our reports in our, so we've revamped it in order for it to meet the current ICT requirements. And the entire state is revamping technology. And in fact, we are the most backward. Even we were the last to even get on Twitter and Facebook, because we have been trying to save our money to go to people, and we're finding that the value for money, spend a lot on travel. You spend a lot on catering, because you invite people, they come, but you must give them something to eat. And so those are some of the realities that we are meeting. In fact, when we're discussing our SEM challenges, part of the SEM challenge is that in rural areas, we have one person who caters. And the AG says we must have three people who come, who are able to provide you with a birth certificate. And then you have to ask for an exception. You must have the person in your database. And some of the things we put out there don't match the realities on the ground. So some of these realities are what we confront in our outreach, education, and so. I would like the CFO to answer some of the questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, Yes.
Procurement of women?
Before he just in, there's a hand behind him. I will give you just an example of why or how we are trying to circumvent the thing of not money, you know, no money in the city. When I have to do some work, for instance, I was doing strategic planning, conducting a strategic planning session invited by the Women's Caucus of the Eastern Cape Legislature in Tata. I teach with people. I don't use my car, because I avoid to incur costs for the CGE. For instance, we went to Kubu. For the first time, after so many years of that traditional house of Amashubi in Kubu, there was going to be a woman elected. It was in the newspapers, even nationally, where men were resisting. We went to conduct a workshop to create a conducive environment for the woman to take over. And in that workshop, ma'am, I took money from her to buy Kentucky Fried Chicken, buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And some of those people said, it's the first time we eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. We normally see it or hear about it in the radio, people talking about KFC. We didn't know what it looked like. So we are trying to cut costs, but we want to reach our communities, rural communities that I'm deployed in as the chair of the culture, religion, and other things. We try and cut costs as much as possible, Honorable Chair. We attend a conference, we don't meet, even with my committee, our committees that we are deployed in. We attend a conference, we never meet physically. The last thing I wanted to say is, honorable members of ours, don't worry about that website thing only. We touch people and reach out. You know, I even said to officials, I don't know whether it's the treasury template that limits you, because if you take one order, I would like the CPE to share with you, honorable check, that the wide listenership was reached in the last quarter of so many millions of people through Ligwalagwala FM when I'm in Nelspruit or I'm in Eastern Cape and Nelspruit conducting Usobo Wenene, CKI FM, the community radio station Forte, the radio station who calls the FM. You know, if you can take that listenership and quantify it and say how many millions of people have reached on various issues, virginity testing, ukutwala, and where you are really attacked by men there, because they gun for you. There's no women who speak to us on those radio stations. SAFM, I've been there, and other commissioners, utolukuti, you are under attack from men, but you stand your ground and say this is going to happen. And the MOU, let me touch on the MOU before I finish, honorable chair of my... Yeah, but my MOU, we decided that we will never win this pressure, especially with cultural division and other things. Let's have MOU so that we can sit with them face to face and talk. Because it's a difficult constituency, I'm a traditional leader. We have MOUs in Mpumalanga, Khosimgwe, the chairperson. Just bounces and comes to our office anytime and say, CGE, we cannot send them much. You know, come to us like that. We have such a good relationship with them. He sent to and other courses. They are my partners, not in crime, in a good way, of changing the mindset in the rural communities, Honorable Chair and my Honorable Members. We haven't really put it in the right perspective for you to see, but we would like you, when you visit us, we give you this information. Some of us come from very, very bad communities. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Today I'm with you. Okay. I've had a helper in 20 years and she died yesterday. Mm-hmm. I said, because we not the deployee of the respective commission, the parliament, and over instead of the parliament for 20 years. Yeah, it's going to parliament. You know, today. Thank you, Honorable.
There's no Palatana here. I'm giving you a chance. So, members who are here, you must know that I was grilled by some uncouth men in the CGE offices. I reported to the portfolio committee. You never came to my rescue.
I'm sorry, Chairperson, I'm not saying, though I was not aware of that. I would have come to your rescue, most definitely. If I had been aware. Honorable Chair,
on behalf of every member, we are saying this. Please be brave. Everybody has to walk through that path. When we came to this world, you want to record it? When we were brought to this solid atmosphere, we never told of the life span. Neither were we aware of how we will leave the planet. It's unfortunate because when you consider the date of your death is already recorded. But it's a secret of our Creator. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. Don't be fooled, I'm not a Christian fanatic. But I know that. Those are facts of life. LCC? Exactly. It's a funny thing, which is very... You know, nobody can accept loss. But we have to actually work around that and say it's something that is out of our hands. May have grown.
Thank you for that, Chairperson. I wanted to ask a question of clarity. I'm just sorry that I'm asking it now, but we are touching on a broad range of issues. Are we going to come back for a second bite, or because otherwise I thought, since the Honourable Commissioner there spoke about her roles and responsibilities, I thought maybe it would be an opportune time then to ask the question whether we could have an indication of exactly which commissioners are doing which projects in which provinces, because it was something that we wanted to ask. Because I don't think we're at this stage just dealing with finances, and maybe we can then ask them to elaborate on that.
Well, she's explained her area of operation. Now we're going to be, at some stage, someone will have to actually give us the whole
breakdown because I haven't seen your organogram. I want to be very honest. Now, can I give the young man the chance?
Thank you, Secretary. Thank you also
for the compliment. Chairperson, I wanted to relate to the question on the number of cases that are still open and why. And just really in broad terms, because I do not have all the files before me. And having regard to the fact that I also came in 2012 and that there are files there that even predate my coming in into the commission. And now I'm heading the legal department. I was just going to offer really a more general explanation about the fact that, you know, with litigation, by its very nature, from the moment of issuing a letter of demand to the person you want to sue, to issuing summons, and the beginning of the pleading, you know, in the case, the exchange of documents, that process can be quite a lengthy, you know, process. And that really depends on the behavior of the litigants themselves. Some litigants deliberately extend that time, you know, having regard as long as they stay within the rules of that particular court, the lower court or the higher court. And the courts also, in a sense, take the attitude that they only prioritize urgent matters. Matters which are not urgent, by their very nature, tend to run for actually years, not even months, but for years. And that is really the trend. We are, as the plenary, monitoring, and also the legal committee in particular, monitoring those cases. The other limitation, of course, is the fact that we only have these nine, the minimum of eight, I think, because one legal officer has resigned. But generally, we have nine legal officers. And they are a very small, you know, fraction, in regard to the legal needs which are out there. Hence, one of the initiatives started is an access to justice initiative, which really says that we should be augmenting the capacity of the legal officers with a panel of other legal practitioners from the Law Society of South Africa, from the other professional law bodies like the Black Law Association, the National Democratic Lawyers Association, the Legal Aid Board, SAULA, and all of those, with a view to encouraging the identification of venues in communities so that, like on a particular day, like a Thursday, if communities know that there is a panel of legal practitioners, then women would actually take their cases there. And then these lawyers were there anyway. They are under an obligation under the Law of South Africa to do some pro bono work, you know, without charging their client. Then they would take that, and that will certainly go a long way towards increasing the number of cases that could be a case, but also it will also help in hastening, because these are lawyers who are doing this on a daily basis. When they take up a matter, then they will make sure that they expedite that particular matter. And just speaking for myself, also over and above heading the legal department, I have full responsibility for the Northern Cape. For example, there was also the question about engagement. There was also believed in CGE that gender inequality and gender oppression will also must involve men, you know, helping them. Next week, for example, there will be a workshop involving men that I will be attending together with Commissioner Porter to engage men on this particular issue of eliminating gender inequality and oppression. Mm-hmm. On land, part of the promoting gender equality, we also have One Woman, One Hectare of Land, which is an initiative that is also aimed, because we believe that women who are empowered, you know, economically are no pushovers. They stand their ground because they have got means, you know,
for themselves. And so we are pushing that particular one woman, 1 acre of land, quite vigorously. Presently, Minister Inki and Minister Squasha are sitting with Inki in that matter. We are awaiting a response. At CGE, our role really is to, in terms of our constitutional mandate, is to lobby and campaign for specific, you know, measure that would go towards the promotion and protection of gender equality. So we're doing everything that we can for the promotion of gender equality.
Member for CGE. As long as we're going to be having men still standing in to address our plight, we're not going to reach our goals. No man has the right to take the platform and talk on my behalf, because if this is actually becoming a perpetrated issue, we are then entrenching the black administration clause. We are saying, scrap it. Women must be given a chance to talk for themselves, and no man can talk on my behalf.
Thank you. Mine is just a comment after the commission. I'm not sure if I'm using the right word, whether I must say I'm concerned or disturbed when the commissioner has to hitchhike to where Chief Celeste Lodis that you were talking about. I happen to come from Eastern Cape and very close to where she was. From where she is, if you drive by car, it takes about 3 hours, your own car. And then to Kumbu, and then from Kumbu to where the Chiefenet is, it's another hour. Now, when she is hitchhiking, it's really, really, very concerning and stressful. So much as, yes, we are talking about finance and constraints, etc., but if we really have to achieve some of their obligations, we really need to look very, very critical on where we have to help them. Because it's not going to be the first time. I know right now that Chief Senate lady is being contested by men who are refusing that she must be a chief. So I thought I must just highlight this one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. With the issue of what the Commission spoke about, one woman, one hacker, I think it's very commendable, I say, but the only thing that I worry about is that if a woman is given land, if it's only for equity, then it's okay. But if it's really for her to plow and to farm, then they need more, like they need to have equipment and all that. Otherwise, then it doesn't make any sense. I just want to find out if there are any plans of actually giving women any equipment for farming.
Honourable members at the same time, can you actually remember that there's a second input that has to be given? So let me take Honourable Trevor. This one, I'm trying to cut it, because we should totally the chance to make it to Trump.
Chair, thank you very much. On the issue of men speaking about oppression of women, I think it's appropriate because for the last decade, I shouldn't even say decade, centuries, that men have kept quiet about our equality. And as long as they don't speak out, we will not progress. Because if, you know, one of the examples I always give is that, you know, even in our struggle, it was, we agree that women have to be in the forefront to speak up about the oppression. But because society does not understand how patriarchy subtly oppresses women, if it is men that speak out, one of the examples is Thomas Sankara, who took out a brave step and came out very clearly that women, on a women's day, that men must take up roles of women and feel how is it like to, you know, to be oppressed and all that. And men changed. Within 4 years, their attitude changed. So if we do that, just like OR, if OR was never very brave to take up the issue of women's equality, we wouldn't be where we are, because it was a man speaking about other men, you see. So if we have men speaking out about this oppression, we will move faster than us speaking about the oppression. We will still continue to encourage our own women to speak out, but if we have men also speaking out, it will have more weight than at this point in time. Now they make it a tribal issue. It's trivial to talk about women's issues. And no, we know Patty will always stand up and talk about women's equality, and they overlook us. So if I'm for, you know, it's about time. And I was saying to one comrade, if OR lived in my generation, I encouraged him to even encourage other men to speak up about oppression. We would have been far. I don't know, but that's my opinion.
All of us must work together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some action is trying to help with. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Because I'm referring to from my computer, I think I will take the question around the unpacking of professional services. Quickly, for the period, cumulative period, we have spent 2.7 million, of which 1.7 went to the AG for regularity audit. There's around 300,000 that have been spent under HR department for the improvement and automation of the performance management system, employee performance management system. We have a project, so it's consulting services separate from the HR expenditure, and we have also spent around 250,000 for co-sourcing of internal audit work. Because as you recall from the AG, they also have got concerns about the size of our internal audit division, and then as a result, we co-source some of the services, audit work, being internal audit work, to firms, auditing firms. So we have spent 250,000 on that. The other issue pertaining to the types of vehicles that we have purchased, we bought, Honorable Chairperson, Kumbis, VW Kumbis, which are utility vehicles. All along, the CG had small vehicles, I think the 1.4 VW, and then those vehicles were found to be, you know, inadequate, basically, because often when we have functions in far-flung areas, those vehicles cannot have the necessary ground clearance. And as a result, we had to even increase our spending on renting of vehicles which would be suitable for the terrain. So we are expanding on the fleet. We have added those vehicles for mass transportation so that we don't have to go and rent or incur expenditure on shuttle services and the like. So this would be in addition to the fleet that we have. We are not going to be disposing except for if the car is not mechanically roadworthy. So in this transaction, there was never the selling of or auctioning of vehicles, trading in of vehicles. The transaction was basically in addition to the fleet. So we've got for each provincial office is 9 plus head office, a VW Kumbi, And in addition, we have also procured a vehicle for the office of the chair, not for the chair, but for the office, so that whenever we've got delegates that requires protocol arranged transportation, we have a vehicle to do that. And with regards to insurance, the break-in, yes, our vehicles are insured, comprehensively insured. MOUs that reference was...
Thank you for a second. Can you just revert back to the issue of a vehicle in the office of the chair?
Yes, Chairperson, we have purchased a vehicle in the office of the chair. The mate is VWCC. It's a car in the class of, if I'll use a common model, 3 Series BMW. Effectively, the decision to make that particular procurement was based on the fact that we are wanting to have internal capacity to provide transportation, not only for staff activities, but also activities within the chair's office and then even across the board and commissioners. So the determination to buy it was to say that whenever we've got that, because often we do have delegations that needs to be transported by CGE, and then I will give an example. When we have delegations, international delegations, we had a visit by Kenyan delegation, Kenyan commission. They had to come here, and then CG had to provide transportation, which is safe, and also I mean there are peculiar needs in the office for transportation, so it was specifically bought for those purposes. It's not a car for private utilization by the chairperson, but a vehicle for utilization for CGE business.
And that's
No, it's
the equivalent
of a BMW 3 Series, the lowest level of, you know.
It's not a lower level. It's not, but what type of a car did you buy for that?
It's a VWCC.
Sorry, Chairperson, the vehicle, I have to explain how finance people are sort of weird. When the vehicle was bought, it was important. We now have 11 commissioners. Two of those are disabled commissioners, some are part-time. And they don't necessarily use their cards.
No. My question is clear. What type of a car was bought?
It's a Volkswagen. It's in the same league as don't use BMW, because once you use BMW,
even with the VW,
yes.
What type of car?
It's called CC. CIC, yes. It's not a Camry.
This is why I need a specific description of the car.
May I check that?
Because once he talks of 3 Series and he refers to it as a lower, I am saying it now openly. You're hiding something, because a 3 Series BMW can never and will never be a cheap car. If all we need is just a clear description of the car.
May I check that, sir? Deputy, may I?
Can you continue?
Okay.
But you can actually make it a point that we need proper description. Let's not be about the push, because we're dealing with finances here.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Maybe just to respond to the last question. The old vehicles have been kept. We have considered basically the mileage on the vehicles and the associated maintenance costs on those vehicles. And then the old cars, most of the old cars are still relatively new in the sense that the average mileage is 50,000 kilometers, so they are still economical to use. We are expanding on the fleet effectively by the species. And we are also mindful of the fact that as they age, there will be associated increase in maintenance expenses, and at that point it will be the point of actually disposing of those vehicles, when it becomes evident that they're economically not worth keeping. Coming back to the other car, I think the make of the car is a 2-liter diesel. Its cost came to 306.
Honorable Member, I know which car you're making reference. It's very worrying that it didn't come out clean from the very worst of. I know what car you're talking about. But it was your choice of words from the beginning that actually rubbed us the wrong way. Another point is, why keep the old car and buy a new one vis-a-vis actually getting rid of those cars? Because they could have given you a good deposit. And if I remember last time when you were talking of old cars, that you were going to be thinking of getting rid and replacement of vehicles, it was mentioned of remember? Members, do you remember? It was the mention of golf. What is happening? We are trying to ensure that our records are going to be straight. Because at the end of the day, we have to actually answer for any discrepancies. And when we must be ready when people pose questions. We have the facts on our fingertips. So we have to come out of here.
Secretary, I was deployed to Limpopo. And the cars that were there indeed a golf car. And when the staff would fetch me at the airport and we would try to Toyando to give an example. I'm giving an example of what was said there to us, hence the comment. And so you have the legal officer, you have the PEI, the person who does education, you have myself, and you have the provincial coordinator, so four people in the golf. Now we need space for material, we need space for this pull-up thing, branding material. And it was very clear, so what you going to do then is that some would actually, if you are working with Human Rights Commission, some of our staff again will be in the car of the Human Rights Commission because they were able to have vans, some of them have got vans and small cars. So we'll put some of our staff in the Human Rights Commission. So we had a lot of requests from our people to say, help us have cars that are suitable for the terrain, to carry material, because once you are there, you can't drive back to the office to fetch stuff. So that was the intention of having bigger vehicles. So that also to cut down on costs, you don't have this person driving their car, this other one driving their car, they all get into one combi to cut down on costs. So that was the real intention. We appreciate feedback. If that is also not the correct way to do it, we really would appreciate feedback, because our intention is to try and cut down costs, to reach out to community to the best of our ability. We ask for assistance. If we're doing it wrong, please tell us what we can do better.
All of who has a concern thus far is, yes, get the relevant vehicle, but why have a stock of the other cars? Why don't you get rid of them? Put them up. Do you understand? Because they're not going to be used. Do you understand? That's an area of concern. Exactly.
All the deputies, ma'am, are in the provinces. At head office, it was two cars, am I correct? Yes. All of them are in the provinces. All our cars are in the provinces.
Yeah, but then why don't you put those cars up?
Because
for auction and buy new cars.
Because
cut it down.
Yes, ma'am. Because not all events require big cars. There are events where it's better to use a small car, and events where you use a bigger car, depending on what the situation. And hiring has become more expensive for us. But we will consider selling them. We'll take the word back and save some of them.
No. I'm not.
Some of them.
I'm not forcing you to do what I've just brought up as a concern. It's a concern. I can't just buy cars in my yard when I know very well I can put them up for auction and they'll then be giving me a healthy deposit for a bigger car. You don't have to get rid of all of them. I'm talking as a concerned citizen. Honorable
Thank you, Chair. I think this is quite a complex issue, and we're not going to get to the bottom of it all in one day. Perhaps we could ask that they actually do a kind of a case study to work out what the value of the car is and this and that, and then come to us with an overall picture. I think we can't make a quick judgment here or there. So let's perhaps just move on and ask them to do a further introspection and study. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe just to give some light, when they were presenting, they were saying they're increasing their capacity to years. In the Eastern Cape, for one, they have only one car, and the staff is more than one.
Yeah.
That is why she hitchhiked. Yeah. I mean, how do you hitchhike when you're doing work? So they are increasing their capacity in terms of vehicles, the others that they have, so that nobody hitchhikes. When you are assigned to do a job, there is transport for you to use so that you can go wherever and come back and report back. I think that's my thinking. And my assumption, because that's my assumption.
Honorable Chairperson, yes, I agree. I think that was the analysis. Those discussions have happened. I think our procurement processes at the CGE operate in committees. Discussions around replacing, disposing were held. And then the assessment to the effect that for operational requirements, we need to have both cars. Were documented, were minuted. It was part of the engagement. So yes, indeed, honourable member, we are increasing the fleet, and then the two vehicles, the Golf would be having, its role would basically be to do small workshops, I mean, where you've got fewer passengers, things like administrative travel to the post office and the like, small vehicles would be utilized. However, when you've got the events that requires mass transportation of passengers and material, that is why we opted for the VW Kombis. And as well, there will be a substitution effect out of the whole thing, in a sense that we're no longer going to be renting vehicles should we need to go to a terrain that requires a bigger vehicle with a higher ground clearance. So those considerations were taken into account at the time of to inform the ultimate stress of saying this is how we need to augment the fleet.
And your 50 car is about 435,900. That's the cost.
If you allow me, Chairperson,
I'm just giving you now an outline that I am talking about a car that I know how much it costs, and the price will vary.
Thank you, Chairperson. As well, the procurement for this vehicles was done through National Treasury Transversal Contract, and as a result, the transaction would be compliant to the rules, the prescripts from National Treasury. There was an inquiry around the MOUs that have been mentioned in here. The MOUs that specifically mentioned in the presentation have got to deal with the gender summit. We had a project-specific MOU just for the activity of the gender summit, and then those MOUs came to an end after the conclusion of the summit, after having signed off that both parties have met their conditions relating to the transaction. I would like to honor all members to try and explain our accounting approach. Because we are not a government department, the GRAP requirements, our reporting requirements by AG, a GRAP, and then we are on an accrual accounting method as opposed to a cash accounting method. I'm mentioning that because I also want to respond to an issue around the lease, but as well an issue around why do we have deficit whilst we have cash. Because of the accrual accounting method. Accrual accounting method says you recognize or you record a transaction when it occurs, whether there's cash movement or not. When one gets an invoice which is due and payable, you record it, so the expenses will increase. So there will be instances in which there's a book entry, cash does not move. So in our case, we will be reporting a deficit whilst you are having cash, and then the detail that they will talk to the movement of cash and explain the anomaly between cash accounting and accrual accounting would be seen in the balance sheet. In the particular example that I'm giving, if I'm receiving an invoice, I will charge expenses, I will increase expenses, and that will be having an impact of generating a deficit. And there will be a corresponding increase in liabilities, but cash will still remain on the balance sheet. So that is where you find that in reporting, in my report, you'll see, because we are on an accrual-based accounting system, there will be a deficit whilst there's, on the other hand, cash. In government departments, what happens is that transactions, a cash-based accounting is that only when you pay, you're recording. That is an expense. So there's the glaring anomaly, but it can be explained by the differences in the accounting approaches. And linking that to the question from Honorable Saeke on lease, provision for lease, I think because we are also on an accrual-based accounting, any transaction we record it when it occurs. If lease balances are increasing, it means we must make provision for the ultimate that the lease balances are increasing, then it means that there's a liability on the part of the entity. If my lease balance is increases, it means inevitably CGE must make a provision to pay me out. So we'll record a liability. So in this particular instance, what happened is that because the lease has been planned to take forward in the latter part, most lease has been planned to take place in the latter part of the financial year, there has been an increase in leave days due to employees, and then we have made such an estimation and a provision in the books. So we have increased the expenditure and correspondingly increased the liability. But as the leave balances, when people take leave, the leave balances will go down. We'll make the corresponding adjustment, and that will be, you know, a reduction of the expenses. So I think some issues are technical accounting, because we are required to comply to accounting conventions, to grab and the like. So those are book entries that they will change when the circumstances change. Travel, I think it has been adequately answered. Delays in the payment from the department. The last for September, the payment was received in the first week of October. I think it was a delay by a few days. And we don't have specific reasons. I think we can go in and ask for specific reasons. However, I must emphasize that the department, they regularly pay transfers when they fall due. I think the delay, I don't know what the reasons are, but it's a matter of, it's a timing difference of less than a week. So we have received the money.
Were you aware that there's some fashion, some confusion when actually the impact as well?
We weren't aware at all about the fact that transition will impact us. But like I mentioned in Chairperson, the time lag was for 3 days or so. So immediately, because we are reporting for as at the end of September, by the 30th the money was not in the account, but within the forthcoming week the money was already deposited in our account, and we were never inconvenienced whatsoever. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, may I continue? Thank you. On page 19, purchase of property, plant and equipment, I think some of the things have got to do with accounting terminology. It's a generic terminology for fixed assets. It's a terminology that is being used in GRAP. So we didn't purchase any plant, any immovable property, but we have only purchased the vehicles that we're talking about. The question on procurement, how are we empowering women through procurement? The prescripts on BEE and procurement, the point system, it's actually very clear as to how we adjudicate and decide on procurement. There's an 80-20 and a 90-10 principle. And then the 20 and the 10 in the two systems are basically scored, not arbitrarily, but on the basis of a BEE certificate. So B certification includes a consideration for women empowerment, consideration for previously disadvantaged groups, enterprise development and the like, and then the system works in such a way that there are separate accreditation entities and authorities that issues the certificate. So already on receipt, when considering a bid by a prospective service provider, already the issue of empowerment has been factored in. So it's no longer like in the past where entities would make their own discretion as to what weight to give on a particular element, but the weight is already given in terms of the prescription now. So every prospective service provider will, on bidding for any particular piece of work or supply of goods, will have to provide a BE certificate, and then with the points already given. If you are level one BE certificate, I mean BE company as an example, and the transaction is an 80-21, you get all the 20 points. And if you don't have this other component, so we don't have to specifically have a separate dispensation for women empowerment because it's already inbuilt. The issue around our budget, salaries, the fact that we are gradually drifting towards an 80% compensation of employees in the budget, I think it's a serious budgetary challenge, which CGE also, with this project of reviewing the business model, in part, is also to look into how best we can mitigate the situation. And the whole assessment needs to be done, you know, evaluating the extent of our funding. The CG has always been of the view that funding is inadequate. Funding, the budget is inadequate, and we're exposed. I think the 20% that gets left is not adequate to sustain operations at all. Generally, I mean, compared to government, I think in government, the big departments, the COE to other goods and services of economic classification budget is around 40%. So we are worse off. I think our goods and services are underfunded. John, we can also help. I mean, if there are areas where you think we need to assist. The requirements that we have performed them within goods and services, which is a separate one economic classification. In terms of the TFMA, the rule around environment is that one can defray not more than 8% of compensation of employees for overspending items under goods and services. So the environments that we have conducted were within the same classification and in line with the provisions of PFMA. A response as well to the protracted litigation. Yes, indeed, the case has been on hand since 2009. And like Commissioner Mkoki was explaining about the fact that in litigation, it depends on the conduct of litigants. During the process, I think there have been exchange of documents between the CGE and the former chairperson around the issue, there's defense and the like. However, in parallel, from management side, through also in collaboration with the governance structures of the CGE, we are basically assessing whether it is still worth pursuing. I think primarily because we are chasing money, which is public funds. We were trying to do the best possible to recoup monies that have been lost in an unauthorized manner previously. So currently there's a submission from management for the review of the merits of the case, and also with a view of finally making a determination as to whether we are continuing with litigation, or it would be in the interest of the CGE to bring the case to finality outside of a litigating process. That is considering alternative dispute resolution mechanisms. Any other thing?
Chairperson, there was a
question level contact.
Chairperson, I just want to respond to one question on the overlapping. One question on the overlapping from previous years. Honourable members, I think it relates to the legal statistics that have been given here. The files brought forward, files open, files closed. Honourable members will note that in this quarter we handled 545 files, which included files from the previous quarter or previous period, as well as this quarter of the finalization of cases. There has been an improvement on how we have finalized cases. Going forward, we have 533 cases pending thus far, and we have developed a plan now to turn around complaints that we have received through the legal department. And then on the media, we note the question on the new media that says it is not properly used. We have improved. We have a community radio education program in our APP that we are doing through the National Community Radio Forum. You will note in the CEO's presentation that we have given a slide where we have put possible listenership of the targeted radio stations for the quarter, and we have managed to do 33 radio interviews, community radio interviews in the second quarter. So there has been an improvement, and we are using the media more going forward, because it's also sort of cost saving for us instead of going into rural areas and communities, traveling. Thank you, Chair.
Local government
yebo siyezwa ukuthi nenza show ukuthi bemamazela mina bekonga isiqhelo sihlalo wami ukuthi la eSouth Africa sinama language amaningi benze show ukuthi eke bethi uholda kancane ingisi ngoba yabona ezinkinga esikhuluma ngazo imost yazo asikhulumi ngey'nkinga e-Afrika laba abanye bezinye iy'nhlanga lezi y'nkinga kakhulu kuthina ngazo mhlawumbe bona ke mhlawumbe ayivelini kodwa zonke lezike zikhuluma ngazo la zithinta thina kuyimanje kunebengane nje nomama bawela umfula ogcwele iy'ngane ziyayisafunda ngisho iy'kole kuningi ukuhlukumezeka kubantu bakithi special emakhaba ngathanda kakhulu ukulalela ukhozi yonke la ma-radio lawa abantu kuyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I totally agree with you. All the debt pending can be paid up if these cars are auctioned rather than having them getting in the yard, not working or not used. This can have a positive impact in those balance sheets or financial statements. And secondly, I just want to know whether this BEE issues, BEE things, are they still operational? And thirdly, when it comes to media, my plea is that whenever the CCE goes to the media, they must make sure that all the languages are being utilized, because South Africa is a multilingual country. So all the languages should be used, indigenous languages should be used. And lastly, even now, there are women who are suffering, who have to cross the roads, to cross the rivers, going to shops for their kids, and they have all to carry all the luggage on their heads crossing the river. Maybe, as a committee, we have to do something about this. And this has happened in KwaZulu-Natal. The party has said before. Thank you.
The BEE, the program.
Yeah, musical chair.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you, Honorable Member, for the question. The vehicles that we have will be part of the fleet that will be utilized. We are going to be using them. We've got the inner province will be having a small golf vehicle, a passenger vehicle, a five-seater vehicle that will be used on an ordinary day, going to the post office or one officer visiting, going to a meeting or two people. But when we have bigger passengers, we will be using the newly acquired vehicles, the Kumbis, that can occupy more than five people, that can also carry the materials that we are using in our workshops. So we are using them. The vehicles are not standing idle. We've got all intentions to use them. The issue around language and giving access to poor people, yes, indeed, we've got an arrangement with National Community Radio Station Forum, in which case most of those community stations are in vernacular languages. And in addition, with the materials that we use, printed materials, the CD has got, for most programs, our brochures have been translated into various official languages. So we really also working hard to break this divide, in ensuring that not only English is being utilized to communicate, but messages are being disseminated using all the 11 official languages, and also specifically ensuring that we promote our indigenous languages. BEE, it's part of the framework, procurement framework, which is governed by PPPFA, Preferential Procurement Policy Framework Act. require that there should be consideration for BEE. And then in those considerations, there are procedures basically around how BEE needs to be considered. The explanation around the certification of BEE compliance and the allocation of points happens through the processes that have been defined by DTI. And then there are accredited independent service providers. So it is part of government procurement strategy and policy. So that's BEE in procurement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Oh, what I wanted to find out is just how many women have you empowered. That's just what I wanted. I was looking for a figure for the presentation. And also, the other question that I asked was not answered. The one of the reason why we're giving women 1 hectare. Is it for them to plow? Because if they have to plow, then they have to use their hands. Or is it just for equity? And what are we doing to make sure that they get equipment?
Chairperson, may I request that the first information on statistics of how many women have benefited be sent later? Because I don't think we have it offhand. We will do that. We will send it later. The one of 1 hectare is a minimalist approach. The real expectation is that women have an equal access to land. But the reality is we have to start somewhere for women to have access to land to use for themselves, to economically empower themselves. But it's not for the city. We are selling the idea. Now, for the department has to take that economic cluster. We have to look at it and say, how do we empower women within the land given to them by rural development? Traditional leaders will have to do the same. If we change the way we think and we say every woman has a right to 1 hectare of land, what does that mean towards the way we allocate land? So it's still at its infancy. All we're selling is an idea that we're pleading that it gets accepted and we move forward. In Tanzania, it's now getting into the constitution that women must have access to land, all women. That is what we're hoping for, that we don't have a situation where women only get land at the mercy of somebody else. So that's what we're really dealing with. We're far from reaching the goal, but we're putting a seed.
Honourable members and honourable chair, with this helping women, I remember in the villages we've gone to, when we pick up that women have a piece of land they're doing community gardens, and we realize that the implements are not the tools, we engage the department.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, so rural women's day, we had a big thing of women in rural areas, specific rural areas. And now, as a follow-up to that, we are checking all those departments, like the rural and agriculture region from, to go and help those women, because they said, fence our gardens, because the livestock is messing us up. Give us the implements. It was once that we got there. So there's small, quick wins that we do, which are really helping us, because we are part of the gender machinery, and therefore those departments we use, because we don't have the things ourselves. Thanks, honorable members. We do it.
Okay, I wanted to close the chair based on the fact that we are having a steering committee meeting, the multi-party women's steering committee meeting, and also taking in note that men have not presented the, what is that program? Performance information, that's what I wanted. But it was good for us to start with finances, because always we start with program performance. So it has benefited, the approach has benefited the committee. But I would want to propose share, because it seems as if we still have a more things that you want to ask the CG, you want to interact with the CG so that you can have a better understanding. Maybe when we will be undertaking the oversight committee, I guess CGE, it's us and CGE, maybe we can have some few hours dedicated to this formal yes, a gathering rather than something else, if members agree.
Matthew 7:4. From the members, honorable members, the proposal has been put forward. Is it acceptable to everyone?
Agreed.
Thank you. because right now it's oversized on CGE.
Definitely, Chairperson. We can even use that comment.
We have a whole fleet of cars, all of us, and we can blow the blue whistle and the last.
Any other? The next point will be the minutes. Can we shelve them for next week, if possible? Because we're running out of time.
Our presentation on the CEDAW, No. We shouldn't. Oh, we prefer so much. We just wondered if the time is adequate, but we hope that we have a good engagement. We don't think that half a day is adequate, but we will do the best we can. And we are going to submit as well on the Beijing platform for action because the two are related. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.